Oops. Hang on, Bill.
What happened?
Jasmine's making lunch, I guess.
Is she?
Yeah, hang on.
Oh, all right. What are we having?
Lean cuisine or something of that.
We'll split one? I couldn't possibly eat a whole lean cuisine.
Moonday.
Yes.
I got a bad case of the Moonday's.
Yes. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's the bonus hour. 60 minutes of anything can happen radio. No net, no security net. We're like the Willendas. We're up on the high wire. If we fall, we're done.
I feel the need to tell Jasmine. We had to start the theme, Jazz.
Yeah, I got stuck in the hallway talking about weird stuff. I don't want to mention it.
That's all right.
We're on the stream, so it might be a little...
That's fine.
A little bit better, but yeah, weird stuff.
Someone we know? Was somebody we know?
Yeah.
An employee of WGN Radio?
A couple of people asking me about Jay Farrow. How does he smell?
Oh, how does he... How did you describe the aroma of Jay Farrow?
I would say sweet.
Yeah.
A little bit of cayenne pepper in there, you know.
But I wonder what what would cause that, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe that's his favorite spice. I don't know. But yeah, weird questions.
I wonder, like, if somebody had to, like, all right, did you ever call a place and you need to know if somebody's there? Like, maybe you're meeting a friend for lunch at a restaurant and you call and you'll say, hey, is my friend there? And they'll go, what does he look like or she look like? And you have to describe him. How do you think people would describe you, Wendy, in a situation like that?
I don't know.
Do you think cayenne pepper would come up like it did with Jay Farrow?
No.
She has blonde
really
hair.
Weird.
And she smells like cayenne pepper. Oh, yeah. She's right here. Hold on. I'll put her on.
I got to tell you, and I will apologize if I smell like garlic. I don't know why it sticks with you. Like, I showered this morning. I brushed my teeth with Quip.
Mm-hmm.
I made...
For 2 minutes?
Yes, I did.
That's
until it stopped pulsating.
Yeah, you're supposed to switch every 30 seconds.
Which I'm, you know, I know some people go, really, you can't figure it out yourself. I do forget to move it around.
It's better to be reminded.
I like it.
They know what they're doing.
I made stuffed shells last night.
With garlic?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I sauteed fresh spinach with garlic, and I feel like I'm just oozing garlic. So.
All right. Here's why you shouldn't feel bad. Even though, for some reason, society has deemed that as not nice, the smell of garlic.
I
love it, too. Every once in a while, my wife and I will go out and we'll have Italian food and there'll be some garlic involved. And I say to her, load it up. I want more. You smell more like garlic. I'm fine with that. I love it.
But have you ever been like, I don't know, maybe to a doctor or something and they went out, you have an afternoon appointment because you work, you know, so you go afterwards.
Yes.
And then evidently the doctor had garlic for, you know, his lunch break. And then when he talks to you, it smells like, don't you hate that? Because I hate that.
I don't know that I've ever, it's always been a loved one. It's not been a doctor.
Because I've had appointments, you know, because we work till one. So if I have doctor's appointments or you know, nails or hair or whatever. And sometimes if they've had garlic for lunch, it's
too
just
obvious.
Like, God, really? Can I give you a mint?
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know what to do. So I feel like I'm just emitting it. Plus, I got
I'm
a new chopping board.
Oh,
so I was like,
you're Richie Rich.
No, I like to pretend I'm a chef.
Oh.
So, you know, I kept the dog out of the room because I don't want dog hair anywhere. And my stuffed shells, if I may just say, ricotta. I'm not a big lover of ricotta cheese. Do you like it?
It's all right.
Tastes like nothing.
Yeah.
So I added sautéed garlic, spinach, mozzarella, and Parmesan.
That's a full meal
into
right there.
That mixture, and then squeezed it into all the jumbo shells, which aren't so jumbo anymore.
The shells are smaller now?
Yeah, I seem to remember stuffed shells were, like, pretty large.
There's still a company. Oh, I can't think of their name.
Big Shell Incorporated?
Yeah, Big Shell Incorporated.
They make big shells?
There's one company that, it's a green and yellow box, and I see
Cremettes.
Is it Cremettes?
Yeah, because Barilla is the blue.
Blue, right.
Prince is also blue.
Yeah.
I'm a pasta
Prince
lover.
Should be purple.
I agree with you.
It's their mistake. But the shells with Cremettes... There's a box of them where they're really big.
Like how big? Because I bought the Barilla and it said jumbo shells.
And it was not your impression of what jumbo should be?
No, I could fit two of them on my palm.
No, they need to be bigger. No, the one I'm thinking of It's like a an official clincher softball.
There's no one who that would be one shell in their box.
You only get one in a box.
That you're a liar.
And you have to have one of the bag boys help you to the car with it because it's so heavy.
I needed 16 of them.
Oh, the whole staff would have to help you. You'd have to pull up in the loading docks for them to put them in your trunk. It's giant shells, like a 20-pounder.
I got to look that up. Creamettes,
so
you say?
I think so. That's the green and yellow box one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's Creamettes. I'm pretty sure.
Are they called jumbo shells?
They're called Godzilla shells, I think. They're about the size of Godzilla. They're so big. I don't think you could finish one. You can start one today and finish it during the week.
They're called jumbo shells.
Yeah.
Oh, there's large shell.
See what
I
mean?
Which would you think is bigger, large or jumbo?
Jumbo. They don't see it that way over at Creamette?
Large are just the ones that you would put in a just a regular pasta dish.
Yeah.
The jumbo ones are exactly the same size as the Barilla.
Jumbo should be roughly twice as large as the large size, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're not.
If I was sizing out pasta, that's how I would dole it out.
They're the same. They might be a little
bigger. There's nothing
bigger
than jumbo, right? Jumbo's the biggest you can go in a shell.
Humongous.
Industrial size? Do they have that?
They're the same. I just thought stuffed shells were big. I thought the shells were bigger. But
they used to be, right?
Creamette, jumbo shells, and Barilla are exactly the same size. I bet if I went to an Italian deli, I could get some.
Oh,
bigger.
Yeah. Well, they could make them up to order. You could just show them the dimensions of what you want. They could create them whatever you come up with.
I don't want to.
You
think
dream
that
it, they'll
much.
Build it.
Is that their tagline?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just want to tell you it was a really good recipe.
Can I share something negative about one of our bosses?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Do tell.
Right. Todd Manley, you have to agree, is one of the greatest guys that's ever been on the planet, right? And I'm not saying that because he's our boss, because I would say that about him before. I knew him long before he was our boss, and I said that about him. And then when he became our boss, I liked him even more.
I love him.
All right. So remember I told you.
More than you do.
Last week. Oh, that's impossible. Remember I told you last week that I had been trying at that point for 2 days to get my email and I couldn't do it?
Right.
All right. I was able to figure out what it was, and it was because of Todd.
What do you mean?
It
was just the wrong password,
as we established,
wasn't it?
I had not been using my company email for quite a while, for months. I just don't use it. And he said to me, he goes, there's something you have to fill out for work that you can only get on our company email, so you have to access it. And I said, It locked up months ago. I can't use it. It doesn't go any further than September. And he came in the office and he goes, oh, we can fix this. And he moved some stuff around. He goes, here, if you put in your password and you do this and you do this, it'll work. Except it didn't work. And then I never put it together. That's when my home email stopped working too. Well, I had to go to an AT&T store. I spent a whole day there Saturday as they're trying to help. And they go, somebody tried to hack your email at work. I go, no, really? When did that happen? And they told me when, and it was just prior to the show here on Wednesday. And I go, that's exactly the time my boss was in our office helping me with my work email. And they go, no, he crossed the two signals. Whatever he did, he was using information for one to answer the other, and it ended up canceling them both out. So I went 4 days without any email work, any email action.
Oh, and that was even your private one. Huh?
Yeah,
your
private
personal
one. But I don't want to say anything to him because he's a very nice guy, and he'll cry. He'll weep.
He won't weep.
Because he'll know that he ruined my weekend because I spent a whole day at the AT&T store trying to fix email that he ruined. So I don't want anyone to tell him. Please don't tell him.
Well, I have to tell him.
No.
I offered to help you and I wouldn't have screwed
you
it up.
You couldn't have helped me. They had to send in for a guy. A guy came in from Phoenix to help me because they couldn't figure out what was wrong. Because it canceled out like every possible way that I could reclaim my email, because it asks you for various information. And whatever I put in there, it wouldn't accept it. It was a mess.
That's terrible.
I was off the grid, Wendy.
As they say.
That's my favorite place to be, is off the grid. Are you on the grid or off the grid?
I'm on the grid, and I'm going to...
Do me a favor. One day, get off the grid. You won't believe it.
I can't.
It's great.
But I want to send you...
I could not be found on the grid.
I want to send you an email to see if you...
Oh, I'm back to normal now. It's fixed now.
The work one?
Oh, no, I don't. That one's... I'm done with that one. I can't. It's too much. It's too big of a headache.
It's really not, because now what's different since you worked overnights?
Yeah.
There's like a spam setting that picks up so much stuff, so you won't be getting all the listener emails anymore.
I get notes, I'd say, 30 times a day from Tim McGill saying it might rain in a few days on my work email. That's all I get. And it's nice of him. I assume he sends those to everybody. I'm almost positive he's not just sending this to me.
International Weather Service. I get the NWS
I get
alerts.
One directly from Tim McGill, from the desk of Tim McGill.
I don't think he has my email.
That says, we're looking at a little participation later in the week. And I say, you mean precipitation? And he goes, no, participation.
I'm mad.
Get off the grid. Get off the grid.
I can't get off the grid.
You don't want to be on the grid anymore.
I order too much stuff online. I need to know when it's arriving.
Really?
Yes.
That's your reason for staying on it?
Yeah.
All right. We teased this, and we must talk about this. From time to time, teachers will give out an assignment that in their heads they think is a great idea. But then in practicality, it fails miserably. Here is such a case. Klein ISD administrators issued a statement on Tuesday detailing how students in a digital citizenship curriculum course were tasked with creating a false story in order to show the effect of fake news on the online media. So this is a teacher who says we live in an age where fake news is king, where our story can get out there and it affects everybody. So the teacher's idea, well, I'll read it to you, but the teacher's idea essentially was to create your own fake news story and see how big you could make it.
That's a pretty cool project. It's a pretty good,
I thought the same thing.
But it's backfiring, isn't
it? Oh, it didn't work.
Jeez.
A screenshot of one student's hoax headline appeared on Snapchat and other social media outlets, blaring a false claim that one administrator at the school had been arrested for dealing cocaine and firearms. Unfortunately for the administrator, the fake story then went viral on social media on Tuesday. So here's a student who's doing exactly as instructed. The teacher says, I want everybody out there, everybody in my class, to create a fake news story and see what you can do with it. Try to make as many people believe it as you possibly can. So this particular student said, hey, a teacher at our school is a coke dealer. That's bad. Except everybody found out about it and believed it to be true.
Uh-oh.
The bogus story about Klein Oaks employees' alleged narcotics arrest appeared repeatedly online and was embedded into a legitimate-looking news website format. Again,
that's bad.
Good for the student who did exactly as instructed.
Yeah, but
they were told to do this. Klein ISD statement warned district students, creating and spreading false and defamatory information about somebody is illegal and could result in legal action. So who do you blame for that? Do you blame the student for that, or do you blame the teacher
for that?
I blame the teacher, too.
The student deserves an A-plus on the assignment.
He's passing the flying colors.
Yep.
This is not only exactly what was asked of him, but he went beyond it.
Totally, and oh boy.
The Klein ISD statement reads, one student created a fake post outside of the scope of the assignment about a Klein Oak employee, which has been shared repeatedly online. This post is not true, all caps, not true. Social media has the ability to connect us in ways that we have never had before. It is a powerful tool when used for the right reasons. It is just as powerful when used knowingly or not irresponsibly. This is the unfortunate power of social media. But this proves the teacher's theory of fake news. This says to the teacher's theory, absolutely. We took an innocent man and made him look guilty. Voila.
We did exactly
as you instructed. District spokesperson Justin Elbert told the Houston Chronicle administrators or other school officials cannot comment on internal student matters. District officials then labeled the incident a teachable moment. Agreed.
I'm going to say that now when I really screw things up. This is a teachable moment.
Right. Right. Who would have thought that me aiming my station wagon at a carload of people could create such
teachable
a horrible...
Moment.
But it's a teachable moment. Although several Facebook responses indicated a nearly identical assignment was given to students at the school last year. Well, obviously, those kids weren't as good at it as this kid was. You could do this every year. Eventually, you'll find a kid who's great at it.
Yeah.
This kid was great at it.
And then which publication will hire him?
Right. Right. He's probably got stacks of job offers. Residents of the Houston Area School District and commenters on the Klein ISD Facebook were split in their responses, with some touting the assignment's clear result of helping students with critical thinking and identifying misleading clickbait. Now, I think it does all those, because what you want to do in a case like this, okay, so let's go back to high school for just a little bit, and even though we didn't have these tools at our disposal when we were in high school, let's say we did. Okay, so you pick a teacher, and you say something negative about the teacher, and it explodes, and everybody believes it. Doesn't it say to somebody who reads this, well, I got to do a little bit more homework on this and decide whether or not this is real or not? I know that teacher. He doesn't seem like a drug dealer. Let me look into this a little further.
No one looks into it a little further.
They just see the headline and go, wow, Mr. Henderson's selling crack. That's bad.
That would be bad, especially if Mr. Henderson was your favorite teacher. But we would look in. I really try to find the truth, because I can't stand when people scream fake news at me or call me bad names that begin with an L,
right?
Involving liberal. That's just what they say.
Yeah.
So I try to know what's going on before I say it on the radio. But in everyday life, I don't think people do that.
Well,
they don't have time. Something pops up on their phone and they're like, oh, check this out. Mr. Henderson was busted selling drugs.
Don't you think most people, not all people, but most people are guilty of just kind of scrolling? Like, there's so many news sources, and you're seeing headlines,
right?
And you're not always following up, not only reading the whole story, but then second sourcing it, going, okay, here's a story from there and they say this. Let me look around a little bit and see if other sources are saying that.
Yeah, I do that. I think something that pops up,
you just read the headline sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, right? I hope people do a little research, because I'm telling you, I trust the media. I do.
Right.
They're reporting the news, but sometimes the news is all over. This whole Jussie Smollett thing really is
a good case. Is it a teachable moment?
It is, and it's a case to bring this up, because the media was reporting, Ryan Burrow was so bothered by this, because the media was reporting what was being reported by sources and the Chicago Police Department. And yet this story took so many twists and turns that when the media said, okay, here are new developments, then people were going, oh, look, the media.
Right.
A true good media reports the news that they gather, and hopefully their sources are good. That's all they do. There's no spin. A true media, an impartial, unbiased media outlet, their goal is to report the news with no spin on it. Just the facts, ma'am.
Except that now it's divided up into, you know, if you're watching Fox, there will be spin to one side. And you know, if you're watching MSNBC, there's going to be spin to the other side.
So who's the neutral one now? The Daily Mirror?
Well, there's TMZ? Ones that I consider to be neutral. I would consider CNN to be neutral, but there are plenty of people who would tell you the exact opposite is true.
But I tend to think it's neutral, too.
They seem to be, in my opinion, incredibly neutral. But people will say, but then count all the bad stories that they will write about Trump as opposed to the good stories. And that's true. But that, because my opinion of Donald Trump is so low, I believe that there are far more bad stories about him than good stories. But people who support him would go, oh, no, that's not true. That's just the media feeding you what you want to be fed.
Well, then if they're neutral, shouldn't they be printing some good stuff about him, too? There are a few things.
Now, right.
I mean, you know, I know you're going to go, what?
When a good story comes down the line, I'm sure they'll print it, right? So,
but see, that's the problem with these. You know, when Fahey Flynn was around, you listened to the news and you believed it.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? I'm Fahey Flynn, and you knew that there was nothing but truth after that.
But
even that part was true. Well, yeah. I
mean, I watch the local news, and what they report, I watch Joe Donlan and Micah Mater every day.
Right.
And what they say, I assume it's true.
Do you remember, now you and I would be very small children at this time, but you probably remember this. There was a time where Walter Cronkite was called the most trusted man in America.
Yes, I do remember.
More people
that.
Trusted Walter Cronkite anchoring the news than anybody else on the planet or in the country. Could you say, is there a news person now that would fit that description? Like, if somebody said, who is the news person that is the most trusted man or woman in America? you'd have to pause and think about it. And even then, even after you thought about it, you go, well, those are your news anchors, but I'm not sure anyone would consider them to be the most trusted man or woman in America.
I got no one. I really don't have anyone.
Right now, it's very hard to think of that. But even after Cronkite, even after his reign as an anchorman was done, you looked at guys like Tom Brokaw.
Right.
You know,
Dan Rather.
Dan Rather, certainly over at CBS.
But not now. Dan Rather.
Peter Jennings would be a guy that people go, yeah, that guy. Right? But so why now is there that gap? Why wouldn't we readily yell out the name of one of the news anchors and say, well, that's the guy?
Because Matt Lauer got in trouble. Because he would have been another guy.
Seriously, a couple of years ago, I would say Charlie Rose for sure.
Yeah, he got in trouble.
But then because of personal stuff, you got to go cross Charlie Rose's name off that list. Even if he was...
Geraldo?
I would put Anderson Cooper on, but again, people who don't like would say, you can't. Anderson Cooper.
He's not unbiased.
He's spinning a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
I that's what I think is the problem. The cable news networks, if you go with network news, they're not spinning, in my opinion. Network.
I want to agree with you, but people who don't like Trump, and this is valid. I agree with them. That there are more negative stories about him than positive stories. So if you're on one side of that fence, you go, well, that's because most of what he's doing is negative and not positive. But then people who support him say, no, it's because the news people aren't being, they're not being fair to him. They're not giving him his due. They're only reporting the bad things he says and does and not the good. So while I agree that there are way more negative stories about him than positive stories, my belief is because he's doing a lot more bad things than good things, but his supporters will tell you otherwise.
And they should. I mean, everybody has a different opinion.
But don't you wonder, like, when they're scheduling out a half hour or an hour block of news, somebody's making that decision of which stories go where, and I wonder if they're getting any pressure from people going, you know, a lot of our listeners are wondering, why is it negative story, negative story, negative story, slightly positive story? Because I know that's the case. I'm smart enough to see the amount of stories that are negative about him than positive. But my, you know, like I said, my rationale for it is different from somebody who would support him.
That's why I watch the local news all the time. Because then I figure if something comes up that he's in the story, that it must be important.
Yeah.
And I feel they do a good job locally here.
To show
both sides. It's just... when you go to the, you know, the cable news, that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've never watched Fox. I never will.
I watch it quite a bit.
Well, I wouldn't know. I don't watch MSN either, so I wouldn't know who was who. I just know what I hear.
Right.
You know,
that
they have different sides, but that shouldn't be able to happen.
I watch it predominantly because when a big story does happen, I like to see what their coverage is like as opposed to the other stations that I regularly watch.
Then how do you know what the truth is if you're getting two
stories?
That's
the problem.
That's why I don't.
That's the problem. Is that sometimes.
AP I trust, Associated Press.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even more so than like CNN.
Yeah.
I get AP news alerts. Seriously, AP and TMZ. That's what I trust
Those
more.
Those are the two.
Isn't that a crazy show? But I'm telling you, they get info.
Yeah, yeah.
Harvey
Levin.
I love his cup he has all the time. Just something to drink.
Right, always.
In his hand.
Right. All right. We'll take a little bit of a break. Ryan Burrell will come by. He'll get you some news, and then there's more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That's what I say about Ryan Burrell's news. Try it, love it.
Try it and love it. That's the catchphrase. A quick question for you. We were talking about there was a time, and this is a little bit before your time, where Walter Cronkite was considered to be the most trusted man in America.
He turned America against the Vietnam War, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he did.
He seemed to. If you lose Walter Cronkite, you've lost everyone. Yeah.
Right. So I just said I can't imagine that being a situation today where any news person, and we should, part of the role of the news person is to have the trust of the people listening to him or watching him or her.
Sure.
So is there anyone that comes close to that today?
I mean,
I don't think there is.
We all like Lester Holt, you know, we trust him.
Might be closer.
Is he the most trusted man in America?
At this point.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think America quite has... I don't want to say this, but I don't know if they've quite built the relationship with David Muir yet of ABC.
Right.
CBS seems like it's just kind of a rotating.
Yeah.
It seems like they've got a new kind of face. People don't absorb news that same way anymore, you know? I don't know.
It's a little bit from here, a little bit from there, a little bit from there.
It is. And the first time you get burned by someone, you feel deceived and you don't trust them again.
But
mentioned on the other
some names, like Charlie. There was a time where Charlie Rose would have been among them.
Sure.
Right? So right now, I think the most trusted man in America is Jason Momoa. Don't you think?
I'd certainly not Ben Bradley.
Very trusted.
That's for sure.
No, not
that
Ben
guy.
Bradley.
Oh, boy,
nope.
I tell you.
We like it. Thank you.
Can I ask you my R. Kelly question?
Yeah.
All right. During the week... His R. Kelly is already, he's in, right? We've got him. Right?
He's in custody. We're told now he's being held actually at a hospital, not because he's sick or hurt, but because it's just the best place to keep him right now. His attorney saying that he thinks that he will be able to post bail maybe this evening.
Right. All right. So they were trying to decide whether or not they should take away his passport because he has concert dates still scheduled fairly soon in Europe, right?
Two in Germany and one in Amsterdam.
Right. All right. So, side question, one that you can't answer. Why are people still buying tickets to this guy's concerts? Second, more important question is this. If you were the judge in a case like this and you knew that a guy is a potential flight risk, that he has access, he's going to go to Germany. He's going to go to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. You think, well, he could easily go to one of those countries and disappear and live the rest of his life somewhere, and that's the end of that. Why would they even consider it? Why wouldn't they just pull back his passport?
Well, they did pull his passport yesterday during the bond hearing. Now, the question is, did this accelerate? Did the fact that he had these dates on the schedule accelerate the prosecution a little bit because they maybe didn't want him to leave the country?
Yeah.
So let's get these on him before he heads off to Germany. That being said, I can tell you that the two German venues have pulled his name down there. And in the courtroom on Saturday, one thing that didn't come out was the attorney said that he had no tours scheduled, which we knew didn't sound right. But he said that there were some bookings by people claiming to be his manager who weren't his manager. So while he may have been on the schedule at these venues, according to R. Kelly's attorney, that he did not have any tours planned. So I don't know. Read into that whatever you will.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's strange, though, that people knowing what's going on with him
purchase
a ticket to his
season? Has been a big pushback, you know, much like there has been here on Twitter to get people not to go to the show and to protest the show. And a lot of times, you know, the show's still on, but because there's been so much pushback, the venue says, no, we're not doing this because we don't need a horde of people outside with signs
protesting.
Chanting. Exactly.
Yeah. Awful.
I'm just worried that, you know, not worried, but I had thoughts of R. Kelly spending the whole weekend in jail. That just seems like a weird setup. Was he able to order Domino's or something like that?
No, not order Domino's.
Could he get visitors?
I don't know that he gets visitors, but I mean, he's got to put up this $100,000 and his attorney says his finances are just a mess. He owes $160,000 in child support payments, $170,000 plus on that studio that with all that back pay that he hasn't paid off. His record label dropped him. He owns no rights to his songs, according to his attorney. So I Believe I Can Fly, all of those songs. He's not getting anything for that right now.
But this is where you're supposed to feel sorry for a guy. You hear circumstances like that, you go, you got to feel sorry for the guy. Oh, no.
Yeah.
How do you feel sorry for a guy like that?
I don't feel sorry for him, but it's still just a weird thing. And imagine somebody who, you know, did a public drunkenness or something and gets put in the cell at 26th in California and he's sitting there, you know. Is that R. Kelly? He wouldn't have just been in a cell, would he have?
They put him in a more secure location. In fact, we're told he's at a hospital now.
Right, I heard you say that.
Yeah, he's not sick.
So when they do that, when they put a guy in a hospital, do they keep armed guards at his bedside?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if it's even a bedside. I think it might just be a room. But, I'm sure they've got to have guards there.
Why is a hospital better than a jail?
I don't know. I don't know what the setup is. Maybe just they don't have a good place for him at 26th in California, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just easier.
So in the past couple of days, you have been in the courtroom for both R. Kelly and Jesse Smollett.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. Similarities, differences? What was that like?
I mean, the procedure is very similar. They try to get the high-profile one, at least this one, both of them, done as soon as possible because they know the media is there just for that, and then they give us 5 minutes to get out of there. The way it's set up, actually, if you've never been, hopefully, to Bond Court there, it's way off to the right side of the building when you're staring at it, and there's no cell service in there, which is, I mean, at least a lot of people's cell service doesn't work inside of there.
By design.
I don't know.
You don't
think? It's an old concrete building, so that might be part of it. We're not allowed to tweet while we're in there. We can take notes on laptops and cell phones. We can email, but we cannot live tweet. We cannot stream. We cannot record any audio from inside of there. So those are all told to us right away. Now, I, on the second one in the R. Kelly Bond hearing, actually started my clock on my laptop. So I like to say, the trial, you know, it lasted about 15 minutes, you know, and sometimes you kind of lose your clock a little bit and you don't realize how long something actually took. And, so the proceedings ended and I hit pause, and on our way out, one of the bailiffs grabs me and says, "Were you recording?" I said, "No." She goes, "What is that? Why does that say 17 minutes? And I said, "No, it's timing a stopwatch. It shows up there. It says stopwatch." She goes, "Why would you do that?" And I said, "Well, I just wanted to, so I could put reference on there." But I was afraid that I was going to get hauled into the back, you know. I'm like, "No, I didn't do anything wrong."
Scary.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind, describe the temperament, the demeanor of both R. Kelly and of Jussie Smollett. How did you perceive them to be taking all this in?
Both of them pretty mellow, stone-faced. You have to understand that in both situations, these gentlemen appeared before a judge in the afternoon of the day before they were arrested. So they're probably not getting a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
For Jussie Smollett, he went to CPD headquarters at like 5 a.m. and then was transferred, and then he had to wait until 1:00. They were still wearing the same clothing that they were wearing in their photos that you may have seen, their booking photos, mugshots, whatever you want to call them. But they just kind of watched as the prosecutor read the cases against them. Didn't see in either case anyone making any emotional faces or, you know, sneering or, you know, sighing or anything like that. Occasionally maybe whispering to their attorney. The only thing that either one of them said to court was identifying their name, maybe saying one "yes, sir." In the Smollett case, Smollett had about 8 to 10 family members, relatives, who stood up during the entire process, which the judge said they can do if you're, you know, if you want to stand up. So they stood up the whole time.
What's the point in that?
I think just to show support. I think that's it. Unfortunately for me, it kind of blocked my view of Smollett a little bit. But I mean, what am I going to say? Hey, down in front. I mean, it doesn't really work. But and then R. Kelly only had like 2 or 3. Michael Avenatti was sitting right next to me, just across the way. Yeah, he's obviously very interested in how this all turns out.
I bet he is.
Yeah. I have not watched the docuseries yet. Have you seen Surviving R. Kelly at all?
Yes.
You have. Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm told that one of the women who supposedly a part of the sex cult was in the courtroom with him, but I could not identify who she was. This is the one who their parents are trying to get her released from him, but I guess she's an adult. I guess we got to go a little more into that story.
But was she an adult at the time of the?
I don't think when she first began her relationship, she was an adult.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
But it's got to be in both those cases for different reasons. It's got to just be a very strange atmosphere.
It is, because you've got a lot of national media there in Chicago.
Yeah.
You've got all the local media, you know, and restrictions. And I mean, they've handled it. Cook County's handled it well. I feel like the Chicago police have handled it pretty well. The attorneys seem to understand the flow of everything. So we'll see. Two very, very high. We have been the center of the news universe for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
You start with Smollett and then go into a, you start with Smollett, go into Polar Vortex, continue with Smollett, Aurora shooting, and R. Kelly. And I mean, it's just been nonstop.
This is something I know you haven't seen Defending R. Kelly yet. Your plan is to see it at some point, I'm guessing. Okay. So somebody close to him.
Oh, I bet.
It's a really tough watch. It really is. Somebody close to him explains what they believe is his problem. And they say that as a young boy, he was molested. And a lot of times, and this is a question more for John Duffy, but I found it very, very interesting in this guy trying to figure out why R. Kelly is like this, because most of us realize that what he has done allegedly is incredibly wrong, but he doesn't seem to. He says that when a kid like that is subjected to that, being molested, a lot of times they'll turn and be the molester because it's their way of winning. Like, they lost it as a child. Somebody molested them. But now as an adult, they have all the power. So that's like their way of winning in the situation. I guess that's true. I don't know if it's true or not.
And it's not going to be the case that his attorney's going to make.
No.
His attorney, that would be bad lawyering, right?
Horrible.
Well, you know.
He was.
Yeah, no, I mean, he continues to say, Steven Greenberg continues to say that what people say happened did not happen. He's convinced that he'll be acquitted of all charges. That being said, 10 charges and more potentially coming. We know that Michael Avenatti says he's handed off one of these sex tapes to Cook County prosecutors. He's trying to acquire a third sex tape. To pass along. So, and in each of these, he said that the minor identifies herself and how old she is.
Yeah.
And R. Kelly identifies how old she is multiple times.
Yeah, there's some graphic information about that. 14.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. These four cases, so they finally read them out to us on, gosh, what day was that? Saturday. And so one of the cases, the only one involving adult, was a hairdresser who he apparently approached through himself at. Yeah, and it was this whole scenario where he walked in and said he wasn't interested in getting his hair done, and there were other things that he was interested in getting. but the three cases involving a minor, we know the one about the sex tape with the 14-year-old, alleged sex tape with a 14-year-old. And then the other two were kind of interesting. One of them, a 16-year-old who his manager apparently approached. It was her birthday party, and they seemed to be at the same venue at the time. And it was her birthday, and approached her and said, Mr. Kelly would like to meet you. This woman, the mother of the 16-year-old, went and approached the business manager, maybe R. Kelly, and said, hey, she's 16. You can't be, propositioning her
right.
Like this. So she took the card from her daughter, and I guess her daughter still managed to get the card and reached out and made contact with him, and then they started this relationship.
That was covered on the R. Kelly, wasn't it, the Being R. Kelly?
Because
the dad was like, she was up on stage with him, and he handed her a card, and
yeah, I'm not sure if it was or not. The other case was involving a young teenager who was at his 2008 child pornography trial and met him outside, getting an autograph from him.
How old was she?
I can't remember if she was the 14-year-old or 16-year-old, but met him outside.
They talk about that in the special, too.
Asked for his autograph, got the autograph, and then they started exchanging information.
I feel sorry for the parents. I mean, listen, I know people are like, what kind of parents are they? Some people, all of us have a lapse in judgment sometimes. And I almost heard these parents saying, she has a beautiful voice. She was going to be a singer. He was going to be her mentor. I mean, you do believe in the good of people and hope that to be true. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in this terrible situation. I feel bad for them.
Michael Avenatti said and this is strictly his opinion, he's obviously coming from his angle, that if these victims weren't African-American young girls of poorer background or less advantageous background, if this was someone else, he'd be behind bars right now. And that because of the socioeconomic status of these girls, their age, he was able to get away with it for so long. That's Avenatti's case.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
There could be something to that.
He's also interested in going after, and this was what we saw, this is what we've seen at Michigan State, this is what we've seen at Penn State, not just R. Kelly, but managers, business partners, bodyguards, people who may have witnessed these things and turned their head, the enablers, as he calls them. He
right.
wants to put them all in jail, too.
Right. Now, you already know this. This has been a part of show business for years and years and years and years. He's taken it to a different level because the girls that he was interested in were underage. But there have always been people in show business that have taken advantage of that in many businesses. I'm in a power position. Mm-hmm. I can help you. Wink, wink, wink. I'm not really going to help you, but I'm going to pretend I'm going to help you. And in exchange for that, there will be sex, right? So I guess his biggest mistake was that it was with underage girls, right? Who knows if it plays out differently? Although Bill Cosby.
Ryan Adams is going through this, right? I mean, this is. Yeah.
And Mandy Moore, who is, you know, everybody's sweetheart now because of This Is Us, is saying some.
Were they in a relationship?
Were they married?
They were married.
They were married.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, agreeing with some of the stuff that was brought up.
Wow.
Not looking good for him.
So here's the biggest question. When you get guys. Since we're talking about R. Kelly, let's throw him in there. Since I mentioned Bill Cosby, let's throw him in there, where they maintain their innocence, even though sometimes dozens of women come forward and say, here's what this guy did to me. They still insist that, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Are they lying to themselves, or do they truly believe that they didn't do anything wrong? Where does that...
If you ask R. Kelly's attorney, I mean, we don't have the advantage of asking R. Kelly right now, but if you ask R. Kelly's attorney what is happening, he says that all of these women are lying.
They're out to get him?
He says all of the women who appeared in the documentary, all of these women who are accusing him of anything are lying.
To what gain?
Well, that's what we've been trying to push. They said fame, fortunes coming along with this. They're getting paid money for the documentary. They just want their name in the headlines. That's where he stands right now.
So. That's crazy. Isn't it? I mean, it's just crazy. And I know that if you're a lawyer representing somebody, 20,
you know, maybe one or two people might, you know, do that, but to say
that
to
many
look
people,
that 20 people or, you know, 20 plus people, whoever, however many were in this documentary are
and
they're all conspiring together.
There's something that you see when you watch this documentary and the girls are telling their story and they're crying and they're shaking. It's very reminiscent of something that happened with Bill Cosby, where all the women were finally together and telling the stories. And you just see
strength in numbers.
Well, it's not so much strength in numbers where you see where one of them is telling the story, how another is reacting, where they're going, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. He did that exact same thing to me.
I think we saw that with the Dr. Larry Nassar victims as well.
Yeah.
They all came together. I mean, they it's like a tight-knit bond now between all of those girls. And think about that, and women. They range in age from teenager now to women in their 30s. They have this kind of connection because they've all had this same experience before.
But don't you, as you're seeing that, you like to think that as time goes on, you become a fairly decent judge of people, and you say to yourself, I can't imagine a scenario where all these women would have a similar lie. It wouldn't be worth it to them to come forward, even if they were getting some money. The rest of their lives is judged by this moment. Why would they make it up?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, it's. We're going to have to see how this plays out. And keep in mind, too, that these counts now are just in Cook County. There are counts that are maybe being worked up in New York. There are counts that are maybe being worked up in Georgia, if he even travels to go there to face counts. So,
and he traveled overseas quite a bit, too. So you would imagine
it's quite possible. Yeah.
That anything could happen overseas, too. Wow. Wow. You're right. It's been a strange week, a strange month. Month plus for Chicago with the news stories.
And, you know, I was going to say that because it's like, you know, it's Chicago. We do local news here when people do the news, but it's all this bad stuff that it's not just local.
No.
Now the big mayoral election tomorrow.
Oh, it's been put on the back burner, right? I mean, no one's talked about that
over the last couple
days, you know? Got Paul Vallis out there like, what the heck, man? I need some...
I know.
I kind of forgot it's tomorrow.
Lori Lightfoot I know. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, though, that this is going to go to a runoff and probably a pretty good shot when you've got 14 people. Did you notice that downstairs is going to be a polling location?
No.
So there will be people voting here. But the question is, are people going to turn out tomorrow thinking, well, I'll just wait till it gets to the runoff, wait till we get down to two people, rather than have to try to pick you know, one out of 14 people.
Oh my God, people just vote, and if you have to vote again, vote again.
Yeah.
Do what you're supposed to
do.
That's
what we do in Chicago.
14
vote
is
and vote
difficult,
again.
Though. I mean, it's. I think I've made this analogy before. If you walk up to a shelf at Walgreens and you're going to pick out shampoo and there are 14 different kinds of shampoos, you're probably just going to go to the ones that are either the cheapest or the one that you've used before, right? You're not going to read the ingredients on every single one of them. So
I can vote for my shampoo
for
mayor?
You can.
Head and shoulders
above the rest.
That's a good one.
You're so suave.
Ryan, thank you for... Thank you for hanging out. We'll close things
I'm
off.
I'm going to get the axe on that one.
We'll close things out next. Bye.
That's all she wrote. I don't know who she is, and I don't know what she wrote.
She's done writing, Wendy. She put her quill away. Right. She's done. She's done. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed what you heard. And tomorrow we will
did
have
you?
Another... No, I did not. I was embarrassed by it, weren't you? Why would they put that on the air, I said to myself out loud and in private. Tomorrow we'll try again. We hope for better results. Tune in then. It should be a good one. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.